Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Please note that today's message was recorded during the season of Advent on December 19th. Here now is Pastor Fred.
We're going to continue to celebrate the Advent, and Advent is, remember, it's the preparation time before the birth of Christ, and then now we're not only celebrating the birth of Christ, preparation time, but also the preparation time before His second coming. So the word Advent means what? Coming. So we always do that by lighting a candle and someone sharing a testimony. So today we have the Tolls, Mike, Mary, and Michael. Okay, we got this microphone here for you, Michael. He's got to find his word here.
And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful, Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers."
All right, I'm Mike, and this is my wife Mary, and this is Michael. We have four other children, five total. And we'll be blessed with having three of them come back today. And the other one, we had one get married recently, and he's going to be at home with his in-laws. And so our life is changing. But to share something that has been on my heart over the last year and how God has been changing and preparing me, it brings to mind the faithfulness, how faithful our God is. And Lamentations 3 says that this I bring to mind, and therefore I have hope that God's mercies never fail and that they're new every day. And how great is His faithfulness. And for me, I'm getting a little bit older, and I think there'll be a day when all I have is hope. And by having God teaching me about being faithful has really been important to me over the last year, and the examples that I get here from the many very faithful believers is extremely encouraging to me as I walk. When I think about Christmas, I think about how faithful God was for such a long period of time. And then all of a sudden, love jumped out all of a sudden. You know, love is spontaneous. Faith takes a long time. But I think about the times that I experienced love in my life, and I never forget them. I remember the first day I saw Mary, and I remember the first day that God showed me that he loved me. And both those things changed my life. And I believe that Christmas is about change, but it's the faithfulness that is constantly there all the time that allows the love of God to jump up and just grab you one day. And that's what Christmas, to me, is all about. I wanted to thank Pastor Fred for his faithfulness to the Word, because without the Word, we would not understand humility. And it's important that we hear the word faithfully expounded so that it can keep us where we need to be with our Lord. And I wanted to thank the members of the church for their faithfulness to the vision and faithfulness to God. And we wish you, my family wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas. And we pray that love will jump up on you on Christmas. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Mike. Mike's the one that introduced me to India and messed me all up. And I've never been the same. So thank God for the tolls. We got something for you.
Who's in the house today?
White T's in the house.
They call me No Sam.
Little M. Every day in the mail, I get nothing but bills. I could rap all day about my financial ills. The money comes in and goes right back out. I know that you know what I'm talking about. My wife just keeps cranking up the heat. And three times a day, those kids wanna eat. Sprinkler!
Listen up now to what I got to say. What I do every Friday when I get my pay. Before I buy my groceries or pay the rent, I gotta give God his full 10%. He gives me 100, I give back 10. I'm blessed all day from beginning to end.
Run it, man.
I don't have a clue what tomorrow will bring, but God's gonna give her of all good things. He's got the 411 on all of my knees. God's got it covered, so it ain't on me. I take it straight off the top, that's the way it's gotta be. And everything is good to get God in me.
New kid! Now when I say 100, you say 10. 100, 100. And when we say 100, you say 10. 100, 100. Now it ain't complicated, let me give you a hint. A tithe ain't nothing but 10%.
I may not be the sharpest dude in the joint, but I know how to move a decimal point.
I'm a tither now, that's how I roll. I'm a grateful child on the Father's dole.
Hey, what's up? Now you know how to do it, so what's your excuse? You can't play God's money fast and loose.
Where's your heart? Just show me the cash. I'm storing up mine in the heavenly stash.
When God gives 100, you give.
Gotta get my bearings here. Well, John found that on YouTube and brought that to the staff meeting one day. And I couldn't forget it. I mean, he on his computer. I said, we got to do this. And I just couldn't forget it. And so that's why you got that today. Because, man, I'll tell you what. Oh, boy. All right. All right, I'm glad I came to church today. Yeah, I am. All right. Okay. We've been talking about giving is living in this area of giving. And we talked about judging and condemning and, you know, for forgiving and how important it is that we have those areas, you know, under control, under God's auspices in the kingdom, and then our giving is effective. That's the whole idea, is we want to make sure that what we're giving out is really advancing God's kingdom. And so you can do that when you're obeying God. That's why it says, seek first the what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Kingdom, dominion. That's the word, to rule. We have been created to rule. It talks about in Genesis. And let them rule. Never over people. We're not to rule people. We're to rule ourselves. Where's the kingdom? It's in you. It's in you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is not here or there. It's within you. And that's the idea. We want to advance God's kingdom. That's what this church is about. We're advancing the kingdom. And we're getting that rule. And it starts by getting in people. And as people get it, and it's ruling, now it's moving, it's growing, it's advancing. So the idea is not to build a big church, a great church. The idea is to advance his kingdom. And wherever his kingdom is, that becomes a redemptive force. And its potential increases as the more people get God's rule in them, increases, the redemptive force increases to redeem people back into the kingdom of God. And so we want to make sure that our giving is affecting that. And we talked about how God's nature is to give. And when we're giving, we're like God. That's the most you're like God is when you're giving. It says, my people are destroyed for their what? For their lack of knowledge. That's why we got to grow in this area of giving. We've got to grow and understand it more. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says that his divine power has given us all things. How many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. See? My people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. But through that knowledge, all things are given to us that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, who calls us by glory and virtue, by which we have exceedingly great and precious promises, his word, that through these promises we take on his nature and escape the corruption that's in this world through lust and deceitful desires. You see, we escape the corruption, the deterioration, the decay, you know, our morals, or we're going to hold fast to our good morals. We're going to hold fast to what God has called us to do. You see that? We're going to be true to our wife. We're going to be true to our husband. You see that? That escapes all that other mess. You see that? We're going to handle our money in the way God is calling us to, so that we don't have to call up and ask people for money all the time. We're going to be taken care of. Am I making sense? You know, the Lord woke me up the other morning, and he showed me that not everybody's excited about what we're doing. So he showed me this. Jesus said, pray for your enemies in Luke 6. Bless those. Love your enemies. And then he said, do good. So you know what he showed me? He showed me that if I'm praying and I'm loving my enemies, those who are going to come against me, see, that's an inward work. See, that's an inward work. If I'm doing that, then now he says, see, everything's, remember the word concatenation, it's connected. So when he said pray and love your enemies, when I'm doing that, the next thing he said, and do good. Do good. So if I'm doing the inward work, now when I go to do the outward work, it's going to have effect. You see that?
Because if I try to do the good without the inward, I'm going to be acting like I'm somebody better, or I've got something greater than you. Am I making sense? Come on, does that make sense?
Yes.
It makes too much sense to me. I hope it does to you. So that's the idea, that when I do good, I'm going to love you no matter what you say to me, no matter how you treat me. What kind of community is that? You see that? That's what he's calling us to. That's why the first thing he said on in that chapter, the kingdom. I'm bringing a new administration here. There's a new way to do things here. There's a new administrative office being set up, the kingdom. And that's why he says, love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you and despitefully use you. I'm spitting. And do good. Come on, am I making sense? Look at that community. If we're doing that, you know what? No matter what people say, you see? That's what it means by the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. We're not violently being with guns and punching people out. We're violently doing what's right when we're being treated wrong. Because the Bible says through many trials and tribulations, you enter the kingdom of God. Through many trials and tribulations. If you're connected here, you're going to go through something. Through many trials and tribulations, you enter the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is his rule here now. It's not in heaven. It's here now. And that's what we're after. We making sense? All right. So we've been talking about living is giving. When I say 100... 10. 100?
10.
That's what we're talking about today. Tithing. Okay? All right. Go with me to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. There is no economic crisis in the kingdom of God. Malachi chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 6 through 12. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Now, this area of tithing, it always gets a bad rap. But I'm going to tell you something. The word tithe means ten, tenth. Okay? Now, look at this. He says in verse 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. We don't have an Old Testament God and a New Testament God. God does not change. See that? He doesn't change. I am glad he doesn't change. You know, like Mike was saying, his love doesn't fail you. And when you capture it, it changes you. And that's the way it is. Because his is always there. And you know somebody will tell you that, they love you, but you know they'll let you down. But you know when you got that with him, man, it brings something to you. When that comes to revelation and in your heart, you realize how much God loves you, that'll change your life. And he never changes. That's why nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, right? Neither powers or principalities or powers nor things present nor things to come will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm glad he doesn't change. Now, therefore, You are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances. Ordinances. Now that word ordinance, it's derived from the word ordinary. Ordinary. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, you have gone away from my ordinary ways of doing things. That's what he's telling us. My ordinances, you're no longer keeping my you've moved away from the way I do things, the ordinary way. See, that's what Malachi is. The book of Malachi, all right, the first chapter is how to return to the faith. The second chapter is how to return to the family. The third chapter, what we're in now, is how to return in our financial well-being. The fourth chapter is God returning to us. Did you capture that? The first chapter is returning to the faith. The second chapter, returning to the family. The third chapter, returning in our finances and our financial well-being. Fourth chapter is God returning to us. Now, it says, will a man rob God? Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Now, the word rob in the Hebrew language means bodily harm or bodily injury. Because when somebody breaks in your house or they meet you in the parking lot and they come up with a gun or a knife or something and they rob you, that injures you. They may not even shoot you or stab you, but it affects you emotionally. It affects your psyche, you know, when somebody intrudes in your life and takes something from you. Well, you see, that's the way it is. When we hold back on our tithe, it affects the body of Christ from being healthy and keeping it in its proper place and going in the right direction. Am I making sense? So now that's the meaning behind that. Now, he says in verse 9, he says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So remember last week I said, you know, so if I tithe, I'm blessed. If I don't tithe, I'm cursed. We ought to choose blessing, right? That's what he says in Deuteronomy. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. By choosing the blessing, it's affecting us and our descendants. So a tithe, the word tithe is a tenth. Everybody say tenth. All right. And in the Bible, 10 represents a test. A test. That's why God says this. He says this in verse 10. He says, and try me now in this. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? The local church. The storehouse is where you're being fed. That's where you bring it. You don't say, well, I'm going to give 7% here, and I'm going to give 3% over here. So you're taking it in your own hands and doing what you want to do. He teaches, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. You see that? And he says, bring it. He doesn't say, give it. In other words, it's his. It's his. So we're just bringing what's his, right? God doesn't need it. God's not in need of money. But he knows that this is what I've established to advance the kingdom. You see this? And this is for your well-being. It's not to keep the lights on. It's for you. And when we obey this principle, it affects every area of our life. He says, that food may be in my house. Are you eating here? Any of you ever go out to eat and then you just run off and don't pay the bill? Huh. Well, I'll leave that alone. But now, think about this. This is the way God has got it set up. You bring it to the storehouse and you trust the leadership, and really you're trusting God. Because when you release it, it's in God's hands. But you see, people want to control it. And see, that's religion. And that right there, see, if you don't trust the leadership, now I'm not being mean, If you don't trust the leadership, you need to go somewhere where you do trust the leadership, because that's where you'll prosper. And that's where God will be able to bless you. You see that? I'm not being mean and trying to, no, but that's the idea. But if you trust the leadership, you just do what God says and God will do the rest. See, we're co-laborers, right? Does that make sense? We're co-laborers with Christ. Now look at this. So a tithe is a tenth, and 10 represents testing. How many plagues did Pharaoh bring in Egypt? 10. How many commandments are there? 10. How many times did God test Israel in the wilderness? 10. How many times was Jacob's wages changed? 10. How many days was Daniel tested? 10. How many virgins were tested in Matthew 25? 10. How many days were they tested in Revelation? How many disciples are there? I was testing you. 10 represents a test. 10 represents a test. Okay, I'm a pastor, and I really have a conviction, because I see this, to help people in this area. But it's like you try to help people and they get mad at you. You try to help, you understand? But you know what? We got to get beyond that and really see what's going on. That's, you're going to see something today that you haven't seen before. I've heard that we can't be cursed. I've heard people say, well, we can't be cursed. Jesus took the curse on the cross. Well, he did. He did take the curse on the cross. But now, does that mean you can live any way you want to? No. You have to begin to obey his word and his ways, and that removes the curse. He made it possible for us to not be in a curse. But if we keep doing our own way, we're bringing the curse. You see that? Not him. We bring it on ourselves. It was better for you if before you were a Christian, your financial, if you never struggled financially before you were a Christian, and now you became a Christian and you're withholding a tithe, you were better off financially before you were a Christian. Because, see, now you're under his authority. And that's what he's wanting to bless you. Make sense? And when we yield to that, then we get to experience the benefit of it. That's his will. So it talks about in 1 Peter that he bore all our sins on the cross, and by his stripes we are healed. So we're healed. That means that he took it all, but now, do we still get sick? Yeah. Do we still sin? We do, don't we? But see, the idea is we're under grace now, and we're not under the curse. We can repent and deal with that. See that? The curse isn't on us. We bring it on by our disobedience and our ignorance. Am I making sense? That's the way it is. Now, think about this. Okay, I get all these other questions. Well, tithing was under the law. Remember, God is not an Old Testament God and a New Testament God.
Please join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. for the remainder of today's message.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.